Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Darren Revelle is going to join us bottom of the hour for his weekly visit. Russell Westbrook traded to the Washington Wizards last night for John Wall and a 2023 protected first-round pick. We'll get back to the trade in just a second, but the Rockets are getting training camp started here. So there have been a handful of them meeting with the media. Eric Gordon yesterday met with the media. Gerald Green, who's back with the team, he met with the media earlier this week. Daniel House, Seth, for the first time since he was ejected from the NBA bubble for having a female COVID tester visit his room.
Sorry that he was so concerned about staying COVID-free that he actually invited a tester into his room. Wait, yeah. She wasn't a tester, though, was she? I thought she was security for the
testing. I'm not sure. She was staff. Yeah. She was staff. I'm not sure.
Again. He was being extra super careful.
Okay.
And for that, he was punished.
Yeah. So here is... He's like a
COVID superhero, he was.
Yeah.
Come, pat me down. I need to be patted down for COVID now. Yeah.
That's what they were doing, I guess. Yeah. So here's Daniel House, who obviously at that point, once that happened, he wasn't able to play for the Rockets anymore. He was a key, crucial part of this team in beating Oklahoma City in the first round of the playoffs, and it sure would have been nice to have him on the floor against the Lakers. Here is Daniel House's apology yesterday.
First of all, I'd like to start off by apologizing to my team and the organization and the owner for the mishap that happened in the bubble. I'm focused. It's behind me. It's in the past. New year, new season. Learning. And we're looking forward to growing and expanding. I'd like to deeply apologize to the fans. Also, if you felt I let you down, sincere apologies. From me, Daniel House Jr., to everyone.
I like that he did a verbal signature at the end of it.
He didn't want his apology being stolen by somebody else. Somebody else getting credit for his apology.
Right. Yeah. I like at the end, he's sincerely Daniel House Jr.
I did.
P.S.
Who knows what happens, you know, behind closed doors. There is a chance in situations like this that what if it was genuinely something innocent? I guess that's like, what if he actually just, I don't know, maybe he wanted to, you know, read to her from the Bible or something. I don't know. Like, what if that's all that it was, but there's no way of explaining your way out of it because nobody's going to believe it, right?
I don't know. I mean, I think Daniel House Jr. is married, if I'm not mistaken. If that were the case,
which is why it would have been innocent.
I would have been shouting from the rooftops if that were the case.
That's a situation where, like, your wife is like, that's funny because you were never all that devout before you went to the bubble.
Right.
Like, yeah, but that's what happened. I had all this time to alone with me in the good book that I just kind of, you know, and I was going to Bible study every night.
Right.
I just got way devout, baby. That's all it was. I promise you.
She texted me and said, I've got some good Ecclesiastes stuff for you here. And I invited yeah. are over. What do you want? Does his apology sound sincere to you, Seth? Are we ready to forgive Daniel House and we can move on? Because
I never really needed to forgive him. Sean, I don't know. As I get older, maybe I'm getting soft. I have just a much greater capacity for human beings being human. Yeah. Everybody messes up. Some people do it in more public or more damaging ways than others, but I'm not going to make Daniel. I mean, Daniel has to apologize to people, obviously, some people in his life. But I just think that, yeah, I just hope he learned from it. Yeah. And I hope he feels bad genuinely about it. But I wasn't overly angry at. I have a hard time getting angry at people for being human.
Yeah, no, Daniel House is a key part of this team, and especially in the contract that he's on. Look, if he does some of the things he was doing in the playoff, the dude's on a 3-year, $10 million deal. In the NBA, that's cheap for a guy who's a starter for you. Now, we'll see if he's a starter on this mix of players, but if you're just joining us, and I would imagine most of you are up to speed on it, but we'll share our thoughts on it here. John Wall is now a Houston Rocket. The Rockets, the Russell Westbrook experiment is over after 1 year. He gets his wish. He is shipped out of Houston. He goes to Washington, where I'm fascinated to watch him play with Bradley Beal. But that's besides the point. I'm more worried about the Rockets. Got a tweet here from Tony, Seth, to me and you when we were talking about this trade earlier. He's got a picture here of John Wall and James Harden. There's already pictures of Wall with Rocket jerseys superimposed, photoshopped in. And he says, if Wall can actually be healthy and play, this Harden and Wall duo can actually work better than Westbrook, to which I would say,
oh,
yeah, I don't know that there's a worse super. So that was the clunky thing about the whole Westbrook and Harden thing. It felt like they were put together more because James didn't want to play with Chris Paul anymore. And quite honestly, it felt like there was a tinge of, well, Russell Westbrook would be some nice box office as well at the Toyota Center, more so than Chris Paul. It felt like there was very little thought into this trade is just as far as how the puzzle pieces fit, to wit, they had to completely dismantle and reshape their team midway through the season just to accommodate Russell Westbrook. I don't know that you could pick a worse superstar stylistically to have put with James Harden. And I think that was borne out because Daryl Morey had to completely do a teardown of the roster and go small ball all year long.
This is the big thing about a difference between John Wall and perhaps Russell Westbrook. And I remember, I don't know why, I honestly read like 4 articles about John Wall 2 years ago. I didn't know. Yeah. Zach Lowe had an interesting piece, and it kind of sent me down to just kind of keep up with what was going on with Scottie Brooks and all this stuff. I think I had like a 1 week period where I thought I was going to become an NBA guy or something. So anyway, in 2018, the next step for John Wall had been, is he willing at this point in his career to move without the ball? You know, to be a guy that runs around while somebody else has the ball in his hands, and can we share the ball? Can it be more of this dynamic, kill him from any spot on the floor type of offense? And he did. He latched onto it in a way that Russell Westbrook and James Harden never, ever will, ever. So when you have those two guys on the floor together at the same time, it's just there's certain things that you're hamstrung doing because neither one of them, even though they're less selfish than people want to paint them out to be, they're never going to be that complete and true number two guard, you know? So I think that that's where the marriage between Wall and Harden might be a lot better schematically than it was with Westbrook. And the other thing too is that when Scottie Brooks went from Oklahoma City to Washington, one of the things that people noted was, wow, Scottie Brooks seems to be able to do a lot more, like more advanced things with John Wall than he was with Russell Westbrook as his guard.
Yeah.
That Scottie Brooks has more sophistication to him than we thought. So, yeah, I think that in terms of versatility, in terms of elasticity within the offense, I think you'll be able to do a lot more with John Wall than with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, and
if James Harden sticks around.
If James Harden sticks around, that's right. And Wall's not a great three-point shooter, but he's a better three-point shooter than Russell Westbrook. And I would say, if we're going to, let's pretend for a second that James Harden sticks around. And the team has reiterated, or at least there have been reports of the team reiterating that they are not entertaining any James Harden trade talks right now. You know, James Harden's one of the 5 best players in the league. They've got him under control for 2 more years. They're going to ride it out until they get presumably an offer they can't refuse. They're going to ride it out with James Harden. I'll say this, Raphael Stone, the new general manager, they become a much more dangerous shooting team. Again, we're assuming health for everybody here. That's the big caveat. I get that. But DeMarcus Cousins is a big who can shoot from the outside. Christian Wood is a big who can shoot from the outside. John Wall, as a running partner to James Harden, is a better shooter than Russell Westbrook was. And we already know that Eric Gordon, if he can find his jumper again, can be a good shooter. PJ Tucker has his spots on the floor that he can shoot from. This has become a better shooting team. It's become a taller team. I think it's become a team that, again, assuming health, is more equipped to deal with the rigors of an NBA season than the small ball lineup that they were trotting out there last year.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, though, a lot of that was talk about John Wall moving without the ball was kind of heading into that 2018-19 season.
Yeah.
I'm looking at an article from the beginning of that season where it said, supposedly healthy entering the season, John Wall is once again one of the least moving players in the league. So there is that, for whatever that's worth, that it was his knee injuries before that kind of some people blamed it on. But then it hadn't got a whole lot better before he tore his Achilles tendon.
All right. So the Rockets, the Daniel House apologizing, Russell Westbrook traded for John Wall. Here's Eric Gordon. The drama still surrounding this team is what's the deal with James Harden? Our Adam Spillane, our Rockets insider, asked Eric Gordon in his media session yesterday, do you think James Harden is still committed?
Do you feel like James is committed to what you guys are doing right now?
That's a question you have to ask him. You know, he's still with our team, so I assume so.
if you're someone who's optimistic or trying to harbor optimism for Harden being here for the long haul, not the greatest soundbite for your cause.
Are you convinced that Daniel House will not have any more dalliances with female officials in his hotel room? He got in trouble for it last year, so he probably doesn't want to do it. I assume so. I don't know.
Ask him.
I don't want to speak for him. Yeah.
Ask him.
I assume so.
Yeah, right.
Has Daniel House... cured his apparent deep, deep thirst? Has he quenched it? Yeah.
You'd have to ask him. Yeah. What are the protections? Text message. What are the protections on the 2023 first round pick? It's lottery protected in 2023, and then the protections go gradually down for the next 2 years. But if they still haven't used it by 2026, it turns into 2 second round picks.
The best it could ever be is 2025, it could be what?
The ninth pick.
Tenth? It could be the ninth pick. Yeah. The best, it'll never be better than the ninth pick.
That's
unless
right.
Somehow they find a way to, you know, use this to roll it into another lottery.
2025. Like it's the most window dressing thing to make a trade look good. Like, hey, the Rockets are stockpiling some of these first round picks.
It's not that far off, Sean. Just like earlier, I was just made to learn that MC Hammer's Too Legit to Quit was released in 1991.
Ooh.
I honestly, if you had asked me, hey, Seth, when did Too Legit to Quit come out? And I gave you I didn't give you an instant answer. I would have said, I don't know, like 12, 13 years ago? No, Seth, yeah. 29 years ago, you old bastard.
Right, 3 decades ago. All right. Should Kirk Herbstreit have apologized for saying this? We'll have it
also,
for you.
Also, but I'm going to have to read maybe one of the weirdest text conversations I've ever had with anybody.
Okay.
In the last 9 years of working with this station.
Boy, that's
I am fascinated by this.
Okay.
I'll read you guys a text conversation that will blow your brains out.
All of that next. All right, Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Darren Revelle jumps in with us at the bottom of the hour. Kirk Herbstreit caught some heat. Because he said something on the College Football Playoff ranking reveal show on Tuesday night. Kirk Herbstreit, of course, a former quarterback at Ohio State. And Ohio State is in a funky spot right now because they are rated the fourth best team in the country by the playoff committee. So if the season ended today, they'd be a playoff team. However, they had a game canceled last week. They've had another game canceled earlier in the season. And because the Big Ten didn't start their season until the end of October, they've been given no wiggle room to get their games in, and the Big Ten has a rule that if you don't play 6 games, you can't play in the conference title game. If Ohio State misses either this week's game against Michigan State or next week's rivalry game against Michigan, they will only be able to have played five games this year, and they'll be ineligible for the Big Ten championship game. And we have no idea how the playoff committee is going to view that whole thing. It's a very small body of work. So there's been speculation out there that, boy, if Michigan really wanted to stick it to Ohio State, if Jim Harbaugh wanted to stick it to Ohio State, they should just back out of the game and say, sorry, we're going to bow out. We don't want to play this game, because then Ohio State would be screwed. They couldn't play in the Big Ten title game. Well, Kirk Herbstreit on the rankings reveal show basically said that he thought it was a strong possibility that that would actually happen.
Still sitting there in the top four. Now it comes down to they were going to play Michigan State Saturday. I still think Michigan waves the white flag, potentially avoids playing Ohio State next week. And then, David, they'll potentially get a game on the 19th. They could be sitting there with six games. And Michigan, is that fair, David? Michigan could opt out, basically, of that game and keep Ohio State out of six games to qualify for the Big Ten championship. That doesn't make sense to me, but that potentially could happen.
Okay, so keep in mind, Kirk Herbstreit basically just said, without any hint of sarcasm or facetiousness, he thinks that's what Michigan's going to do. Like, that they're going to bow out of the game and wave the white flag.
Yeah, it was like, without even citing a source tells me or anything, it was really strange. You're right. He presented it almost like it was a known thing.
Yeah.
Which usually when people are talking about college football and stuff like that, it's because they've read something so many times on a message board that they believe it's true. It's one of the hardest things about talking about college football, honestly, is like as soon as I bring up something about A&M or Texas or anywhere else, there you get 10 people who will be like convinced that something is true just because it's a rumor that they've seen so many times on a message board.
Yeah.
And that's exactly, but Kirk Herbstreit, I hold to a higher standard than the 19-year-old kid that spent a whole lot of time on a message board, you know?
Yeah. So absolutely. So Kirk Herbstreit immediately caught heat. Hell, he caught heat from Reese Davis in the show. Like, Reese is like, okay, I know you may be being facetious, but you're really not saying that's what they're going to do. And Herbstreit kind of backpedaled a little bit and said, well, no, I was just really citing the fact that they could potentially do that. And went back and listened, like, no, you're not. You're saying that's what they're going to do, you think. At any rate, Kirk Herbstreit then felt the need, once the show was over, to get on his Twitter account and put up an apology video. Here's what it sounded like.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to speak for a second about some comments that I made earlier tonight on our college football ranking show. Made some comments about Michigan, about the potential of them waving a white flag and intentionally trying to avoid playing Ohio State by just saying, hey, we have too many cases and we're going to opt out. I have no business at all saying that. I have no evidence of that. It was completely unfair to the University of Michigan, to Jim Harbaugh, to his players and coaches. And I just wanted to apologize. I think if anything, I think we all go through some ups and downs, many downs for a lot of people during this COVID crisis that we're all in. And for me, in college football, I really struggle with where we are. Players opting out, teams canceling games. It just seems like it's a downward spiral. And I think typically I try to remain positive and upbeat. And I think sometimes we all have our breaking points. And I think right now at week 14 with so much negativity surrounding the sport, I think that's sometimes a pressure point for me.
All right. So,
okay.
COVID in part, I guess.
Ever since the Astros press conference disaster, I've got a few articles earmarked about like elements of a proper apology.
Oh, okay. Because good.
And actually, Sean, there are like PR, there are several PR websites that wrote long pieces specifically about that Astros press conference and what a disaster it was. But one of my favorite ones here was in psychologicalscience.org, the six elements you need in an apology.
Okay.
So I like to run things through the ringer because there was something about that apology that didn't quite ring right. You know, there was something about it that didn't sit well with me. We'll start off. Number one, expression of regret. He hit that, right?
Yeah, I think he
basically.
He hit that. Yep.
Explanation of what went wrong. I'm not so certain. I think he's basically citing emotional distress.
Yes.
So I'll say that I'll give him credit for that.
Okay.
This is where sometimes when somebody cites emotional distress as a reason they say something irresponsible, is that genuinely number three in acknowledgement of responsibility? Mm. Do you give him credit for acknowledgement of responsibility?
I don't think
there?
So. I didn't hear that anywhere in there.
Yeah, I don't think I think at some point he has to sit there and say, like, look, and because I was feeling that way, there's no excuse for me taking that leap or something. He
now,
didn't quite go there.
To be fair, the apology video was about 2 minutes long. We played about a minute 10 of it. We didn't play the whole thing.
Yeah, he was rambling at that point. I could tell he wasn't going anywhere. Yeah. Let's just base it on these 2 minutes and these 2 minutes alone.
I like it.
If I need to apologize later, I'll hit all six of these elements.
Good for you.
Declaration of repentance? I don't think so. Did he promise that he was going to change his ways in the future?
No, I didn't hear any of that. No.
Yeah. Offer of repair?
Yeah,
definitely
not. Yeah, no. Like, because he can't unsay that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He should have said, "Listen, I'm going to march right into Ohio State's facility tomorrow and demand that I speak to my fellow Buckeyes and tell them exactly how honorable Jim Harbaugh actually is."
Yeah, hopefully wearing a mask because they've got COVID all over the building in Columbus right now. Yes, continue.
I'm not a big fan of this one. The last one is request for forgiveness. Like, what are you supposed to say? I hope you forgive me. Or please, please. Nah, that's pathetic and weak.
Yeah. So you don't want, I don't think I heard that, but that he didn't do that would actually be a positive with you. That he's not groveling.
It'd be a positive with me, but a negative on this by this article.
Ben, you decide. Yeah, there you go. All right,
I feel like this person wanted to write. They had like committed to an item, a six item list, and that's where they had to stick.
Yeah, by my count, he hit two of the six. That's not a very good apology.
Yeah. So, listener says super weird when I heard Herb Street say it like he did, but I think it was reverse psychology to Michigan in a weird way. I gotta recount this text conversation real quick.
Oh yeah,
I promised the listeners that I would.
Yeah.
Okay, so earlier I was talking about something that we got talking about the Civil War, and I said something in a way that it didn't come off exactly the right way I wanted to. I was making a point about like how times back in like 1864 were tough. They were a lot tougher for black people than they were for white people, but they were a lot tougher all around, right?
Right.
So a couple people interpret that as me saying that like, hey, if you're black, just remember it's not so bad now because it was really bad in 1864.
Which you did not say. You didn't say that.
No, I did not say that, but I could understand how somebody might have interpreted that way. One of our listeners, one of our black listeners actually said, Seth, that's the funniest shout out to black people ever having hard times. And I was like, I'm sorry, that's really not the way I meant. He's like, no. He said, no, Seth, it's okay. It was just funny. But another person reached out to me, and I assumed, like, I thought this might be a black person too that was upset with something I said because I read it after that one, and what he said, "What are you saying, white boy, Seth?" I'm like, "Well, okay, I don't know. That's pretty aggressive." I said, and I didn't know what he was talking about at first until I saw this other text. So I said, "Oh wait, you mean the 1864 thing?" Yeah, I didn't phrase that right. I was trying to make a nod to the fact that times were tougher for black Americans than white Americans.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah. What did he say?
Response. "I'm 46-year-old white man. Don't mean towards black peoples." And by the way, every letter is capitalized in this text. So I said, "Honestly, I have no idea what you're trying to say." His response, "I'm white. You're not white." No comma, all caps. Not all caps, but all first letters capitalized.
Sure, yeah.
"You are a mixed person. I'm all white, boy." So I said, "Well, I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of intrigued. How exactly do you mean? I said, "How am I mixed necessarily?" He says, "Because the way you sounds." I said, "Okay, well, what?" So my response to that was, "Okay, I'm very intrigued. What do you suppose my racial mix is? Please give percentages." And he didn't do it. He just said, "Sean sounds more like us than you do." I said, "Well, is Sean not white?" "He's white and you're not." So I don't know. I find myself very confused this morning as to how I identify myself racially.
Do you get tagged as somebody who doesn't sound white? Ever?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes people think I'm black.
Okay.
When they hear me on the radio.
Okay.
Which I always kind of like, all right, cool. Like I feel like I got a little bit more of like an appeal than I thought I
did.
Yeah,
broader appeal. Sure, sure.
One of the funniest texts ever that I ever got was in one that it wasn't, somebody had directed it to me. I used to have it bookmarked, but I don't have it now, but I'll paraphrase. It was like, "I used to think Seth Payne was black, and now I've found out that he's actually super white." So I'm not just, I'm like, a lot of times, Sean, yeah, Sean, a lot of times people think I'm black, and then it turns out, like, no, I'm super white.
Yeah, massive.
Not like
snap
super
back.
White in a scary way, but more like super white in kind of like a dorky suburban way.
Yeah, like not even close to black. Right, exactly.
Yeah. I'm not like carrying a tiki torch or nothing like that. I'm just, I'm way whiter than some people think at first.
All right, Darren Revelle.
I'm like Lawrence Welk white is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Right. Darren Revelle, also extremely white. He joins us.
Oh, my God.
He joins us. You seen him run? Darren Revelle from the Action Network, he joins us each and every Thursday. In the next segment, we will get up to speed on all the gambling angles of the sports world, the business of sports with Darren Revelle. That is next. It's been a couple weeks since we've talked to Darren Revelle because we had Thanksgiving last week. So we welcome him in now. Download the free Action Network app. It's a must-have if you're a sports bettor. It updates you on your wagers, on lines, on scores. It's great. ActionNetwork.com, the website. And he joins us right now. Darren, been a couple weeks. Good to talk to you again. Did you have a nice holiday last week?
I did. I didn't eat much. I felt good. I laughed at everyone who was full, and that's how Thanksgiving goes for me.
Yeah, what's your deal? Like, what's
too superior?
Yeah, why do you not like eating at Thanksgiving, Darren? It
people
feels like
think it's just me, just like trying to create hate. No, that's not true. I am very thankful. I just am not thankful for the food that we eat. I don't like it. I don't really like it until the pie and the ice cream and the Oreo cheesecake that came in my house. Yeah, I was willing to eat that whole pie. So
yeah, well, we can all agree on that. The Oreo cheesecake.
You know, Darren, one of the big topics here post Thanksgiving has been obviously the fact that Will Fuller and Bradley Roby were suspended for PEDs of some variety, and with Will Fuller especially, who is a free agent at the end of this year, this just creates one more season in which he hasn't played more than 11 games since his rookie season. That was the last time he played more than 11 games. And I'm getting a whole bunch of different opinions from different people about whether this will affect his free agency status or how lucrative his contract is. Where do you stand on that? Do you think a lot of teams are going to look at this and say, well, we can't trust a PED offender, or will it not be a factor?
I think it comes down to, and you know, the Texans have a lot of experience in this, going back to Brian Cushing, of course. But you know, I think it comes down to whether you think it's going to happen again and whether you think that the way it went down shows some sort of lack of character. Believe it or not, as teams read more into players, I think they actually do evaluate the apologies or the excuses. Huh. And, you know, Fuller's apology / excuse, it's just not going to do, it's not going to do you any favors, I'm not saying he wasn't honest, but he was dumb. If he saw someone and that person said, take this, and he didn't do his own work. That doesn't do anything with fans or executives to come out and blame it on someone else.
I'm glad you
have the money that everyone's earning.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Darren, because he did leave something in the explanation where there's room for interpretation. Because for those of you who don't know, there's a very well defined list with a whole bunch of substances on it about what you are and are not allowed to take. And sometimes there's times where a new substance will come up and it's not specifically on the list yet, but it'll say related substances. But every player in the NFL is very well versed on the fact that they're supposed to check with club officials before they take anything, that, you know, for a doctor to say, well, I don't think this is illegal, like, players know better. So you're right. It either has to be one of two things. Either Will Fuller actually easily could have found out that this was a prohibited substance, or the medical professional that he was seeing was really, really shady and needs to get sued, and sued hard and fast. So if I don't see a lawsuit or something from Will Fuller towards this medical professional, and frankly, I don't really believe Will Fuller.
Well, I will tell you this. the excuse comes out and it has been put on other people, and I can count on one hand the amount of times that someone's been sued. And if you think that it is true that that person told them something and then that has resulted in the loss of hundreds of thousands of dollars, more likely millions of dollars, especially as the players make what they make today, then if there's not a lawsuit, you're lying.
Yeah. I guess what, there were star caps back in the day. Dwayne yep. Brown had an actual good case against Mexican beef because he got off on his second yeah. suspension. I don't know. Did he sue the Beef Council of Mexico or anything there? But yeah, it's I always hesitate because I think the number one excuse people give is, oh, it was a tainted supplement. And it's just so easy to not believe that because it's so easy to just say that. But that's
it's also because the industry is so knowingly shady. I mean, yeah. I'll never forget when I was investigating some of these thermogenics, these pre-workout substances. And I wanted to find out some things about them. It was around the time that GNC went public and a lot of their best sellers were some of these pre-workouts. And so I go, okay, that place is about 50 miles from me. Why don't I drive there to the address that's on the bottle? And I drove to this place and I'm like, that's funny. It's a UPS store.
Yeah.
So I walked in and sure enough, their corporate headquarters listed on the bottle is a P.O. box in a UPS.
Yeah. Well, that's a good, that's a multitasking UPS store manager right there. That's a guy who's
that's what it is. It's a
running a supplement shop out of the back.
By the way, the guy was trained not to tell me that. I go, hey, is the so-and-so company there? And he's like, I can't say who has boxes here. And it's like, you know, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing. Darren Revelle joining us for his weekly visit. Hey, Darren, just shifting gears over to the gambling angle on things here. We saw a Wednesday afternoon game yesterday that was postponed three different times. We saw a game on Sunday where a wide receiver from the practice squad wound up playing quarterback and completing one pass for an entire game. How challenging is it starting to get with some of the COVID stuff and just the extreme examples that we've seen lately? Is it becoming more challenging for the books setting the lines, or is it becoming more challenging for bettors, or both? Like, what's the dynamic been with all this?
So I think in the beginning, bettors, I think, would say, okay, let me like an NFL game has not been canceled, just been postponed. Let me get in. And I think what's happening now is that the books are well-versed in information, and I feel like books in the past could have been like 2 or 3 minutes off, and I feel like now they have someone at their books who's monitoring a news feed that within 30 seconds of anything COVID, it's pulled off the board. So I think sports books have clearly gotten faster in their game and their reactions, and I think gamblers are feeling like it's kind of like a 50-50 game, that they're not, if they get in early, what are they actually getting?
Right.
Because they don't actually know. I think ultimately most of the money does come in when everything is settled. And I guess it just depended on whether you thought that the Broncos could get any offense at all, you obviously had the Saints situation too, where it wasn't Drew Brees. So, but between the Eagles and their last minute antics and the two point conversion, which was good for me, and the fact that Ravens team could not have possibly scored a point. And still manage to Trace McSorley its way, into covering. I mean, those were some of the two. If you were on the other side, some of the two worst beats I've ever seen. Because there's just no chance. I mean, the two-point conversion and the walk into the end zone by Miles Sanders, it's like he walked in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like there wasn't any defense.
Nope. Yeah, I was on the wrong side of that one, Darren. I was on the Seahawks side of that one,
Darren. As you can tell by now, Sean is the more advanced gambler amongst the two of us. I'm pretty much a sports gambling virgin. So I'm going to ask you a really simple and stupid question. You had retweeted out on your Twitter feed at Darren Revelle a picture of the Rockets' new city uniform version, which is a really, really cool Oilers colors Rockets uniform. It's got the Columbia blue base with some red and white trim. It looks very, very, a lot of people are excited about this. A lot of other people wondering why exactly they released that on the same day that they pulled, like almost within an hour of when the John Wall trade was leaked.
Right.
Okay, this is my simple gambling question. When I was a player early on, we had these battle red jerseys. They were all red. And I swear, like, we as players were convinced that we were a better team when we wore the battle red. And we had some pretty good upsets in the early years wearing the battle red jerseys. Is there any evidence ever, like, with alternate uniforms or anything, that some teams get a boost from the alternate uniform?
No, but there is evidence that in college that having uniforms or having shoes or having, you know, the certain ability to get different types of shoes and stuff like that, like Oregon, where kids have said it was the X factor. I mean, I think that's the greatest pull, where there's, you know, there's 5 to 7 schools that, because of either the Jordan brand or Nike and the shoe, like if you're at the University of Oregon and you're a football player, after you're done, your shoes are worth $10,000 to $20,000.
What? Your shoes?
Because they get like Jordan 11 Concords that they just made 400 of, and they could go on StockX and sell them for $2,000 to $3,000. They get limited edition streetwear shoes, not cleats, that are instantly worth that type of money, and players know that. So I would say no, yes, maybe there's a psychological thing going on, but the greatest thing with uniforms and limited edition stuff is the players and recruiting, and then post. There's a website that people should check out if they want, called the Players Trunk, which is it's basically, once players have expired their eligibility, they can sell their stuff. And this is a new site that has hundreds of players selling their stuff.
I feel like the NCAA is hearing this, and there's a glitch in the matrix, and now they're going to forbid Oregon from giving nice things to their players to put on their feet.
Yeah.
Darren,
well, they can always say they need these shoes to walk around Eugene,
yeah,
you know, whatever it is.
Yep. Fair enough. So Darren, what's the pick this week? What's the fade Revelle this week? Which game?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
We don't know yet. I mean, I'm not sure. It's a little bit late in the game, but I will say that last week was maybe one of my greatest reliefs, you know, because I was at one point, Tom Brady had me telling 15 embarrassing facts about myself. That's how far I was behind on this bet. And thank God I had the Bucks 1.5, and they came back to within 3, and I only had to tell 1.5 embarrassing.
Okay, real quick, we've got a minute. What were they? What were your 1.5 embarrassing?
My wife said that I always walk around with my butt crack showing.
Mm. Okay.
And then she said I have an extremely small, and that was the half. That's when it got cut off.
Okay. Could have been anything. Could have been thumbs.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he could have been ego.
But it was right. It was 15. It probably not on that. But if there's, I mean, 15 would have just been insurmountable because my office was going to get involved. I couldn't tell any myself. My children were going to get involved. It would actually have been significantly bad. I mean, you could easily eat 12 bull's testicles, but to be really embarrassed like that,
I'm
really putting myself on the line there.
Yeah, boy, Brady saved you. Those garbage touchdowns to make that game close really saved you. Darren Revelle, Action Network, download the free
Wait,
Action.
I got to ask you guys one question.
Yeah,
there's an auction today, and I'm wondering if I should bid on this or not.
Okay.
It's a piece of cake from Diana and Charles' wedding 39 years ago.
Oh, this is like a Seinfeld episode.
It's $400 or something like that. Next year's the 40th anniversary, and I'm big on anniversaries. It does not, it shows the box, but it does not show the condition of the cake.
$400
by a car by this point.
It's the most famous wedding of, it's the most watched wedding of all time.
Yeah, I feel like $400 is it feels light for that right now.
I mean, even that would be a great Fade Revel next year to eat a 40-year-old piece of cake.
Yes, yes, as long as you don't wind up paying $10,000 for it or something. Right, exactly, exactly. Darren, we say go for it. I think Payne and Pendergast, our official stance is go for it. Go get that cake.
We are the show of optimism.
I'll bill you 5% of it.
Okay.
Okay.
Just save 5% of it for us to, boy, to eat. I take that back. No, but go, yes, but go get it. Darren, we appreciate the time as always.
You got it.
All right, Darren Revell, I'm anxious to see if he gets that cake. All right, cake as a.
I don't get that one at all.
Cake as a memorabilia artifact.
It's, you know what it is? I despise the royal family so much, and I hate that Americans are so enthralled by it. Like the very, very thing that we rebelled against. I just don't, not a big fan of that. Not a big fan of anything with those. They're basically a bunch of glorified Paris Hiltons over there.
They are indeed. And yet,
less attractive to look at for sure.
And with worse teeth, no doubt.
Yeah.
Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies to you. And good luck in all your future ventures. And congratulations the whole Aryan Nation thing that our one listener put you into. Yeah, okay. Congratulations.
You drop that in as the music's playing. All right, we are done. In the Loop.
Pure.
In the Loop is up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m., everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.